This is Ozarks at Large. Pat Carr has written more than a dozen books, fiction and nonfiction, and had over 100 short stories published. Her latest book is something a bit different. It's a graphic novel about one of the most infamous moments in American history, the assassination of President Lincoln. And it's told from a cat's perspective. In fact, Horatio the Cat receives top billing over Pat on the cover of the book, Lincoln, Booth, and Me, a graphic novel of the assassination. We were unable to schedule an interview with Horatio, so we invited Pat Carr to the Carver Center for Public Radio. She's with me now. Welcome to Ozarks at Large.
Thank you.
Has Horatio become something of a prima donna now that he has a book?
He's very disdainful.
Yes. Where did the idea for a graphic novel about the assassination come from?
I was writing a regular novel, and I found out that in Mary Surratt's boarding house, where the conspirators in quotes, mm-hmm. met, there was this little girl named Mary Apollonia Dean. And I thought this would be an interesting book to write from the little girl's point of view looking at the assassination. But it got very contrived. I wanted her to be, you know, at the Ford's Theater, at the Garrett Farm.
And how could you do that? Believably.
Right, believably. So that I came up with who could be all those places, and it was a cat. Dogs are noticeable, but cats are not.
With a graphic novel, it seems like you can move along quickly.
Yes. That was part of its charm, is that I think the problem with most literary fiction right now is that it's gotten so interior, and there's no scene. And, you know, as any writer knows, you can write anything if you can write a scene. And so the graphic novel really forces you to do scenes. And they do, as you say, you can move fast.
When I was a kid, there were things called Classics Illustrated.
I remember those, yes.
And I guess the idea was I would pick up Amazing Spider-Man or the Fantastic Four. Oh, and what's this comic book about Tale of Two Cities?
Right.
Or Hunchback of Notre Dame. And I see this, I mean, I am now 50, so I enjoyed the book as not a child, but I see this as something that could introduce a very young person to history.
That's kind of what I hoped. And I've got a friend in Kentucky who wrote back and said, hey, this would be ideal for introducing middle school or even younger, sixth grade, to history. Because I'm a real scholar. I was a joint English history major in college, and it's got to be accurate.
Well, I was going to say, I've read a handful of books about the Lincoln assassination, at least dealt partly with it, the Manhunt and
right.
some other books about Lincoln.
American Brutus.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you pack a lot of information in here that, you know, in what, four dozen pages and panels.
Right.
I mean, you made sure you got little bits of information in there.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was hoping. And without too much dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is another thing you got to be careful with in a graphic novel. You can't talk for pages.
How did you decide what you could get in and what would have been too much?
I did a mock-up, and I had about 60 pages, and I was trying to put in all those little things and the funeral procession and all of those things that I knew about. It just got too much. And so I pared and pared and pared. And, you know, I love to revise anyway. So finally I got it down to where I thought it would work.
Which came easier for you, the words or the images? Because you drew the pictures.
Yes. Probably the words. I've been writing much longer.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 13, my father came in and he said, you draw and you write, you got to pick one. You can't be great in both. You've either got to be an artist or you've got to be a writer. And I decided I wrote more than I drew.
But now?
Yeah. I can relax and do both. But Malcolm Gladwell says you've got to do a million words to be a writer. You've got to work 10,000 hours at any other craft to be a success. And I think that's what my father was trying to say. You don't have that many hours.
This is a violent episode, of course.
Mm-hmm.
This is an assassination. And later, I think I can don't have to worry about spoiling the ending for some people, but John Wilkes Booth meets a violent death as well.
And a very similar to Lincoln's, which
yes.
I thought was very ironic.
So when you're thinking about young people looking at this, you don't want to candy coat.
Right.
But on the other hand, I mean, you're talking about two people who are assassinated by one very violently in the head, another who basically drowns in his own blood.
Right.
So how did you balance that would be for a young audience?
Because I wanted the cat to look at them both sympathetically, and I want them to understand that an assassin has his, nothing happens without motive. And the assassin has his own reasons for doing this. And as a friend wrote, and she said, the fact that you call, that the cat calls him Johnny, mm-hmm. humanizes him. So that I wanted a kid to recognize this is a human being too.
Are you prepared for some people being upset with that?
Yes.
I'm not going to spoil the last image in the book, but I'm going to ask you about it because it surprised me.
Oh, did it?
Not in that it was there, because that's how the story ends.
Right.
But the caption, I won't spoil that either. I don't know. It was a bit more, maybe sympathetic's too strong a word. But there, the caption of what's going on is a bit more ambiguous than history would let us, lead us to think.
Right. And I probably did that on purpose. And the one before it is a prisoner in a hood. And it reminded me so much of the Abu Ghraib. I kind of intended that. You know, look, we've been making mistakes a lot. And so I did that one on purpose. And I did the last one on purpose, too.
Well, I figured you did.
Yeah.
It was maybe just even a bit shocking for me.
Oh, that's good. That is kind of what I wanted. Because I took it from a Matthew Brady photograph. And I was trying to do it as accurately as possible.
You do have a cat named Horatio in real life.
In real life, he's named Kalidasa.
Okay.
I wanted to preserve his anonymity.
Which we've now blown.
Yes.
You made, your cat is black. You made the cat Horatio in the book, the storyteller, black. And a couple times it's referred to as bad luck.
Right. I sort of wanted that superstition in there. Because everybody has bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
In the assassination, it's permeating.
Save General Grant.
Exactly. He didn't go to the play. And my son-in-law read this one, and he said, I've put in here at the end that Horatio's on his seventh life in a farm in Arkansas. And my son-in-law said, where are the other six?
So if there's another Horatio story, if this was the first, you don't even say if this was the first,
right.
Actually.
Right. I could back up.
Right. Have you given thought to what else Horatio may have witnessed?
I thought pretty much right away that maybe the Salem witch trials would be Horatio as, you know.
Horatio is bad luck.
Yes.
Horatio's hanging around some tough times.
So, and, you know, the witches had familiars, and he could be one of those that witnesses this. And I've got a friend who is a descendant of Rebecca Nurse, who was one of them who was killed. And I don't know if she was hanged or pressed to death.
Yeah.
But, you know, I write from incident, and I would have to find a really compelling moment in the witch trials, the way I think this one is.
Are you working on anything else right now?
I'm writing one more Civil War story before I get away. I did a whole bunch of research on gangrene. And the nurses over here at the wound center were so kind, and they would let me come witness, you know, when they found somebody, they'd call me. There's somebody with gangrene. And I sat through the lectures on, and I thought, gee, I'd like to use it. So I've set it in 1864 when the war is winding down, and the Confederate soldier has gangrene. Can the heroine save him or not?
Mm. Hypothetical question that you may not have an answer to, but if I could give you a year and an unlimited budget to go anywhere and research anything for a book, fiction or nonfiction, do you have a dream, subject
place
or assignment?
Oh, that's a lovely question. I got all involved in the Black Plague, the Black Death, and it got to Europe in 1348, and it came to Bordeaux first, and the English princess was on her way to marry the Prince of Spain, and she got caught in the Black Death, and they set the Bordeaux on fire to try to get rid of it, and where she was staying burned to the ground, and they've never found the body of her or the young minstrel whom the prince had sent to entertain her on the way. So I've decided they have run off together before the Bordeaux burned. So I took my daughters and we went to Bordeaux. Just had to go look at the place. But I don't have one in mind.
Okay, that's okay.
That's a great question, though.
Okay, assassination, witch trials, the plague, Pat. Lollipops, sunshine, rainbows,
I
where?
Know, I know.
Just not as interesting, right?
You've got to have a conflict. And when I wrote my memoir, people said, well, you didn't bring in your children. I never had a conflict with my children.
Oh. Yeah. What a wonderful thing to hear.
Yeah, I loved them unconditionally. And they're all wonderful, beautiful. What good is it writing about them?
Pat Carr, congratulations and thanks so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Pat Carr will discuss her new graphic novel and sign copies of the book at Nightbird Books in downtown Fayetteville on Saturday, August 10th.